Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program based upon the topic, Read It in Your Bible. And we trust that you're making it a part of your daily life to read the Word of God. You know, some time ago we mentioned on a broadcast four things that are vital, we might say, to living for the Lord, making a success of our Christian life. And all of them had to do with a contact. One of them was certainly reading the Bible daily. Another was our contact with God as a Christian by praying to Him daily. Our contact with the brethren, attending all the services of the congregation to receive full benefit of the program that's arranged by the eldership. And then keeping in contact with ourselves as well, knowing how much advancement we have made. Well, on the broadcast today, we want to get into an area that I think is very thought-provoking. And I want to quote in the beginning of the broadcast the references found in John 8 and 32, when Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'm prepared on this broadcast today to present to you in a way that I hope will be clear and to the point that we cannot actually have freedom without truth. You see, many, many times people think they are free, but we're aware of the fact that they are found in bondage. I was talking to a lady some weeks ago, and it was a very interesting conversation, because she had thought many years ago that she had actually been made free from sin by what she had obeyed from her heart. When she began to investigate the Bible long before I had an opportunity of talking to her, she found that there were several things that she had not done to become a Christian. One of the questions she asked me that I want to especially pass on to you today is she had never been baptized into Christ. Now, apparently the person who had talked to her did not think that immersion in water was essential, probably thinking that it was a church ordinance, and if you wanted to join some good church, well, then you'd be baptized, which simply would indicate the ordinance of the church, or if you wanted to express what had really happened on the inside by outside example, you would be baptized. I pointed out to her, of course, when she raised this question, asking me, did I really become a Christian? I said, well, I want to state that the only way I believe you can answer this question is simply to go to the Word of God. Do not rely upon what this person says or the other individual says. They may all be honest. But I learned a long time ago that honesty could never be a substitution for righteousness. I said, you've got to really go back to the Bible if you're going to find the answer. After all, what greater book could we turn to? The Word of God is going to be at the bar of judgment there in the final day to judge us according to the teaching that's found in Revelation chapter 20. So I pointed out that I had never read in the Bible where a person was baptized simply because it was a church ordinance. And I had never read in the Scripture where a person was baptized because it was to show what had taken place on the inside. I am sure that we are baptized if we are immersed, according to the Bible, because we understand that it is the will of God. Peter, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit at the house of Cornelius, when he had presented that lesson to them, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now this was not alone for the Gentiles, for Peter on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:38, when the people had asked, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Peter had the answer by inspiration. He simply said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So what we're saying to you on the broadcast today is that if we know the truth, we can be made free. Now, of course, we must obey that truth. Paul made this clear in Romans chapter 6, and I'd like to especially note in Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. You could even go back to verse 16 that simply mentions about we're going to be serving the one that we follow or the one that we obey. But it says in the 17th verse, "God be thanked, though you were the servants of sin, you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." So after we had discussed the Bible for a while, giving her Bible examples, she simply said, "Well, I want to be baptized into Christ." And I believe she was sincere, for as she was immersed into Christ, she realized that she had Bible example after example of how people were truly born again. It was faith that played a part in this whole thing, because she had faith that God would do exactly what He said He would do when she obeyed the gospel and when she was baptized into Christ. So true freedom is to come from knowing the truth and obeying what we understand to be the Word of God. You see, the devil, in his circumstance with mortal man, understood that he must indicate freedom, even though freedom is not to be found. You see, the devil uses any means. That's what Paul reminded the Corinthians of in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He said he feared lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so their mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And this would indicate that one would be leaving freedom and truly going back into bondage. I want to show you from the account that we have in Genesis, and I'm sure you remember the story of the fall of man in Genesis 3. Remember how the serpent came to Eve and simply asked her if they could eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden. And then Eve, in a very definite way, did like all of us should do. She simply offered what God said. And would to God, as I talk to you on the broadcast today, she had simply continued to consult God about her questions and about her problems. But she said, God has said that we can eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden. We can eat from every tree except the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now God told us that if we touch that or we eat of it, we'll surely die. And then I can picture the serpent in a very smug way just simply saying, well, you will not die. Thou shalt not die. And then he gave her the reasoning that indicates freedom is to be found here, freedom of thought, freedom of activity, and true freedom to be gained. Well, he said, God knows that the day you eat of the fruit of that tree, you're going to be just as wise as he is. You see, the underlying factor here is to indicate that God was concealing something from Adam and Eve. It would also indicate that there are certain apparent situations here that would indicate that Adam and Eve thought they were really free in the garden, but they were not free. That was the seed that was sown by the serpent in the mind of Eve, and I believe also Adam. And I said just a few moments ago, would to God and would to the teaching of the Scripture and the event, if Eve had simply turned to God as well as Adam and said, Lord, here, as you know, is what the serpent has presented. Now, how do we combat this? How do we answer this? You see, this is a wonderful circumstance because we are told in the New Testament if we're going to speak, we're to speak as the oracles of God in 1 Peter 4:11. So this indicates before we speak and certainly before we act, we simply ought to consult God. Now, this word that I have before me on the broadcast today that says ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, this is the word of God. It has been given to man that it might truly teach man the way of the Lord. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you see, he was talking both about a way and he was talking about truth that would lead to life eternal. Paul made it quite clear in the 5th chapter of Romans in verse 1 when he told the Romans, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And may I emphasize this point, that when one gains peace with God, he gains true freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Someone said to me one time, when you talk about this freedom, it would appear to me that when someone's going along in the world that they seem to be free. But when they obey the gospel, they come into an association where they are bound by certain boundaries. Now let's keep this thought in mind. As you were growing up in your family circle with your parents, sometimes you probably thought that you weren't really free. You thought that the restrictions perhaps that your parents had put upon you was really limiting your freedom. Well, I believe when you got older, you looked at the circumstance and you found out that that really wasn't a limitation. It was simply a direction that you might follow a course that there would be freedom in your life. You know, I was talking to an old brother in the Ozarks of Missouri years ago, and he said one of the great things that he had learned from his father and mother, who had been Christians for many years. He said he could remember while they were still alive that his father would read the Bible, and he would tell about the freedom that there was to serve the Lord, the freedom to recognize that you are free from sin, to recognize that you have a God that's working for you every day, And how wonderful that is to know that you do not have that weight of sin about you. And when sin tries to invade your life, if you consult God, and if you pray to Him, the sin that might even invade your life as you let it into your life can truly be forgiven. So you see, Jesus died upon the cross that men might be free from sin. I like the words of the Apostle Paul in that 6th chapter of Romans again, when he talks about the old man of sin truly is that which is crucified, that we should no longer serve sin. Now, I know we're going to make mistakes. I know we're going to commit sin, but there's a great deal of difference between making a mistake or committing a sin and just simply living a sinful life. The people today who think that they're free and yet are bound in a condition of bondage in the control of the devil are people who are fighting a losing battle. I was talking to a man some years ago, and he brought out an interesting point. He said, you know, I live in a society where, well, you've just bound by an unwritten law. Apparently this man was faced with a problem that would have to do with alcoholism. And he said, yet he was expected in certain circles to take that friendly glass of liquor. And he said, you know, I'm really not free. And he was interested in coming to know more about the Bible. And a brother was telling me about talking to him about the Lord. And he was able to see that. And he realized by obeying the gospel that he was free to live a life that would be good here upon this earth. Well, there's a lot of examples of freedom. We've left them with you today, a few of them. You'll find them in the Bible. If you're not free from sin, obey that gospel. Let your friendly neighbors, the Church of Christ, help you as you take your Bible and they take theirs. They want to invite you to their services, and we want to invite you as well to be with us next time as we take another look at the Bible. You can read it in the Word of God.